Edition here, the Championship Rounds. I am your host, Matthew Amayo. We are a boxing, MMA, combat sports podcast. A lot of things to go over, a lot of things. Pretty excited to talk about it. We're going to go over Errol Spence versus Danny Garcia this past weekend. We're going to go ahead and review and preview UFC 256, I want to say. Yeah, we'll go and preview that, review the card and see what stands out. We're going to go over Anthony Joshua versus Kubrat Pulev, which is going to be on Saturday. And then that's going to be for the heavyweight championship of the world. And then we got Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather. We're not going to do a breakdown of that. We're just going to talk about it. We're going to go over the UFC roster cuts, Anthony Rumble Johnson parting ways with the UFC and going to Bellator. And then we're going to briefly talk about Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr., since I didn't get a chance to talk about that. So without further ado, let's go ahead and talk about Errol Spence and Danny Garcia from last Saturday night, which was a tremendous fight. Went the distance, unanimous decision. Danny Garcia looked pretty good. Errol Spence looked even better. Thing is, with Errol Spence, is there was a lot of question marks that were arising from his almost fatal car accident not too long ago, and had a 400-plus day layoff before stepping into the ring against Danny Garcia, which was, you know, pretty concerning. We didn't know how he was going to look. I wasn't really too worried about it. I was pretty confident that he was going to cruise through Danny Garcia, which is kind of what he did. But Danny Garcia did put up a really, really good fight, made it competitive, and was able to push Spence to the distance. One thing going in that I knew wasn't going to happen is nobody was going to knock each other out. Errol Spence wasn't going to get knocked out. Danny Garcia wasn't going to get knocked out. Danny Garcia is pretty rugged. He's fought some pretty heavy-handed punchers. And I knew that Errol Spence wasn't going to be able to knock him out. It's pretty tough to put Danny Garcia away. But when it comes to the fight itself, he pushed the pace. I think Errol Spence did. He was aggressive with really, really good body shots. Wasn't really head hunting at all. Was mainly just, you know, trying to get Danny tired, and it worked. Danny Garcia looked like he was gassed from about rounds 8 through 12 through that final stretch, and Spence looked like he didn't really skip a beat. Danny looked pretty sharp. He looked all right defensively. He looked all right on the counter, because Danny Garcia is mainly a counter puncher. So when Errol would open up, it looked like that Danny would land, you know, a few big blows here and there, no fighter was really in imminent danger throughout the entire fight, but it was competitive. A lot of good punches were landed. Spence just looked all around really, really good defensively, retreating, had movement look good. His punches are still there. Him being a southpaw and being that his frame, just this lanky, long build that he has, and it's just a nightmare for matchups with anybody in that division right now. Look at Danny Garcia. He didn't really have too much of a fun time trying to fight Errol Spence that night. But hats off to both guys. I don't really know what's going to happen to either guys after this fight. As far as Errol Spence, a lot of question marks. We don't know if he's going to, you know, fight, you know, the mega match that we want, the boxing match that we all want, that us combat sports, not even boxing fans, not even just these niche boxing fans, but this is just mainstream in general. Are we going to see Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence, see who the man is, the undisputed welterweight champion? Who the champ is, who the kingpin is at 147 pounds. Who are we going to see that within the year? I would bet over. I don't think we see this for not even 2 years. I don't think we see this for another 3 years, depending on how active these guys get. If these guys maybe, you know, take it a fight at a time, get some rest, if there's layoffs here and there, they might fight even sooner. Maybe there's one warm-up fight and then all of a sudden they get this done. But with boxing politics and Bob Arum and Terrence Crawford being under the top ranked banner, it's really, really hard to envision this. And then Errol Spence with PBC being under the Al Haymon banner, the Premier Boxing Champions banner, just makes it really difficult to envision anything happening and coming to fruition. I think the more the pushback is from Bob Arum. We know that Bob Arum, you know, has quite an ego on him, and he's very prideful and doesn't really want to give anything away when it comes to his promotion and when it comes to top rank. Very, very, very protective of his fighters and his stable. So we really don't know when this fight could happen, or if Bob Arum decides to play ball and calls up Al Haymon, or they work out some sort of deal and say, hey, you know, this is the fight that everybody wants to see. Let's make it happen. There's a lot of money left on the table that we could both collect from. and get pay-per-view numbers from this, especially in a pandemic where we're all inside and, you know, we want these fights, we want sports, we want live sports, especially a caliber and a fight of this magnitude with Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. Definitely would love to see it. I know a lot of casual boxing fans would love to see it, and sports fans in general would definitely love to see it. Danny Garcia, don't know where Danny Garcia goes from here. Probably back to the drawing board. You know, he does have options at 147. He's not done by any stretch of the imagination. He could do a rematch with Keith Thurman if Keith Thurman were to come back. Keith Thurman he's had another long layoff. Danny Garcia can go against who? He can go against maybe even Showtime Sean Porter. He could go against Sean Porter if he wanted to. Or if he wants to fight Kell Brook, he could even fight Kell Brook, even though Kell Brook is coming off a loss against Terrence Crawford just last month. I'll tell you what, the one fight that does intrigue me is if Mikey Garcia were to step back, or sorry, not step back, but move up. Mikey Garcia versus Danny Garcia at 147 would be a lot of fun. We did see Mikey Garcia fight Errol Spence last year, and he was dominated by Errol Spence. It's just the size matchup, it just wasn't there. There was no virtual way that Mikey Garcia was going to beat Errol Spence that particular night. It's just, once again, that southpaw, that build that Spence has, the quickness, the defense, the size, the overall size and strength of Errol Spence was just too much for Mikey Garcia. So I think if Mikey Garcia were interested in moving back up to 147 and fighting a guy like Danny Garcia, I think that's one fight that would be intriguing. Another intriguing fight, maybe in another couple years, if for some reason Bob Arum just decides to not go through with negotiations and Terrence Crawford just fights guys in the top rank stable and keeps doing that for the next couple years and makes his money. If Errol Spence were to clean out his share of the welterweight roster and maybe step up to 154 and have a couple fights there and have a catchweight, because I don't really envision him stepping up to 160. I don't think he's there, or he's even close to stepping up there within the next couple of years. But if he were to fight a catchweight against Canelo Alvarez, now that's a fight that's intriguing for me, because Canelo right now, he beat Sergey Kovalev for the light heavyweight title. So we really don't know where Canelo is after he fights Callum Smith. Callum Smith's one of the more dangerous and more decorated fighters in the world today. What exactly happens there? If he beats Callum Smith, does he go back down? Does he stay at that weight class? What exactly does Canelo do? But Spence and Canelo would be a fight that I'm definitely open for. And I know that Errol Spence is definitely open for, because he has said in past interviews he'd be more than welcome to open up a challenge and accept one against Canelo Alvarez. So we really don't know what's going to happen with Errol Spence if he fights within the PBC roster, if they make the Terrence Crawford fight happen right away, because Terrence Crawford was ringside at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. Time will tell what happens with Errol Spence. But let's go ahead and move on. Let's go ahead to UFC 256. We're gonna have Davison Figueiredo against Brandon Moreno for the UFC flyweight title at 125 pounds. And it's crazy because we just saw Brandon Moreno and Davison Figueiredo just fight, what, two and a half weeks ago? Just recently. We just saw the fight recently. Figueiredo was victorious and Brandon Moreno was victorious as well. He fought Brandon Royval, who I thought was a pretty promising prospect in that weight class, and knocked him out in the first round. Last minute, there was about a second left in the first round. And that was, just the end of the month in November. So we're going to see a quick turnaround with Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno, which makes sense since both guys didn't really take that much punishment in their last fight. So, hey, why not? Strike while the iron's hot. So Davison Figueiredo, Brandon Moreno, Tony Ferguson versus Charles Oliveira is a fight that I'm looking forward to. I think I'm looking forward more to that fight than I am any other fight on the card. We got some big names that stand out on this card. Tony Ferguson, Charles Oliveira, like I said, Renato Moicano, Jacare Souza against Kevin Holland, which is going to be a really, really good fight. JDS Junior Dos Santos is going to be the first fight of the main card. Cub Swanson versus Daniel Pineda. And we got Mackenzie Dern, who's a rising star in the women's strawweight division. We're going to see her. It looks like she's getting better every single fight ever since she became a mom. It looks like she's getting better fight by fight. Stand-up's looking good. Ground game is always going to be world-class and top-notch with her decorated Brazilian jiu-jitsu background. So we got all these fights going on. this weekend. We got that UFC 256 card. Then we got Anthony Joshua versus Kubrat Pulev. So Anthony Joshua, a lot of questions that are still being asked in regards to how he's looking and how he's going to look in this upcoming fight because of his last performance against Andy Ruiz. So his last two fights were the first Andy Ruiz heavyweight fight where he was upset and got knocked out. And then we got the Andy Ruiz fight when he rematched him in the Middle East and won by decision, where he fought very cautiously and fought very safe, and a lot of people weren't liking that. And I really don't mind. I'm a fan of Anthony Joshua, and I always want to see him do well ever since he's been on a tear and knocked out Klitschko. And after that Klitschko fight, it's like he kind of waned from there. Never really put any spectacular performances since then, any spectacular knockouts. It looks like that he's been just very content with just winning and cruising through with the decision and just not doing it, not getting the job done, and the firepower that we expect from him, just not showcasing it. We expect him to be knocking out these guys with the talent that he has, the size that he has, the star power that he has, the charisma that he has. We expect him to be this overall package and the man in the heavyweight division, and that mantle's been pretty much it's been pretty much been taken up by Tyson Fury, especially fighting Deontay Wilder two times in a row. And that draw in the first fight, which was a classic bout, and then you could even call the second match an equally classic bout when he knocked out Deontay Wilder and finished him and was absolutely dominant. And Tyson Fury is at the top of the heavyweight heap. But when it comes to Anthony Joshua, we expect him to step up, and rightfully so. The Andy Ruiz rematch isn't something that most fans were looking for as far as a performance. He was picking his shots, was very cautious, was very cerebral, was very smart. Andy Ruiz really couldn't do anything. I mean, part of it is also on Andy Ruiz not really training for the fight. He admitted to it himself. He wasn't really training for the fight and didn't take it seriously. It's like the life of heavyweight champ caught up to him. But it's kind of what you expect when you come up from nothing and you start getting into the professional boxing realm, and you're a journeyman. Next thing you know, you're an alternate for Baby Miller, Drill Big Baby Miller, who tested positive for PEDs again, by the way. And you step up as an alternate, you fight the heavyweight champion of the world, and all of a sudden you upset him in Madison Square Garden. Like, come on now. And then all of a sudden, millions of dollars are coming your way, endorsements from sneakers, this and that. It's kind of hard to stay focused for your first defense. And it got to him. And it wasn't really a surprising story that the fast life and all that and the superstardom got to Andy Ruiz, and he lost. He wasn't able to retain his title, and Anthony Joshua was the heavyweight champion again. So we're fighting. He's fighting Kubrat Pulev, and Kubrat Pulev only has one loss on his record, and that was against Vladimir Klitschko about 6 years ago. Pulev's a really, really good fighter, in my opinion. He has good size, even though Josh was enjoying a 3-inch reach advantage against Pulev coming into Saturday. But Pulev's really good. He's very quick. He's very crafty. I think he throws really crisp combinations, throws crisp punches, has power in his hands, really, really good jab, really good quick, stiff jab. And I really like him against Joshua. I think this is a good matchup, but I think Joshua, I think he does have that chip on his shoulder coming into Saturday. He's going to show what he's made of, and he's going to be able to put Pulev out of there. And then hopefully we could get that unification bout that we all want to see against Tyson Fury. So we'll see if that happens. Pulev, I believe, is the mandatory challenger. I think that the thing that Pulev, the main thing that this is going against him right now is his age. He's pushing 40. So, fighting Joshua, and Joshua's arguably at his peak right now, it's not really looking good for him. So we'll see how it goes against Anthony Joshua, if he makes it a fight, if it's physical, or if he gets out of there right away. That remains to be seen. Now, a fight that I kind of didn't really want to talk about, but it's kind of got the world talking, and not too much of a positive light. Last Saturday on the undercard of Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson on Thriller, we had Nate Robinson versus Jake Paul, in which Jake Paul knocked out Nate Robinson in devastating fashion, which is a sense I can't believe I'm saying. But it looks like that was a catalyst for an exhibition fight that's being made, that's in the talks right now with Floyd Mayweather Jr. announcing this past weekend that he's going to fight in a super exhibition against YouTuber Logan Paul, which is Jake Paul's brother, which is scheduled for, I think, February of 2021. And it's going to be on pay-per-view, and I've kind of read scattered reports on what the pay-per-view pricing is going to be. I've read that it's going to be some sort of auction structure, auction pricing starting at $24.99, which eventually increases to a threshold of $39.99. Then I saw a price jump from $59.99 to $69.99, and I hope I'm definitely right about this, but I don't think anybody's going to buy this fight. No one's going to buy this exhibition, especially if it's an exhibition between Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather. And Mayweather, I'm not sure what his deal is with these exhibition fights, if he needs the money or if he just wants the money. I don't know what the deal is. But this is definitely a money grab. Short and sweet, it's definitely a money grab, especially if you're fighting a guy like Logan Paul who has the clout through YouTube and has been fighting professionally, because he did fight KSI just recently. But I really have no words. I'm not going to break this down. There's not much to break down. But it's an exhibition fight, and that's all there is to it. There's nothing to break down. There's nothing to talk about. Nothing positive to even say about this fight. I wish this fight was never even happening. This is kind of the reason why, you know, say what you want about Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, and that being a freak show as far as the buildup. I'm kind of getting the same vibes. This is something I don't want to see. This is the type of stuff that turns me off from pre-fight buildup, because it's all manufactured and it's not organic, and it's just all to gain more pay-per-view buys. But especially with increasing the price from $24.99 all the way to $69.99, I really don't know what's going on, and I just hope this is all over and we forget about it soon. Let's go ahead and talk about more about the UFC. They announced roster cuts. About 60 fighters apparently are getting cut before the end of 2020, which is quite unfortunate, but with the economic downturn due to the pandemic. The UFC, they have quite the inflated roster. So with Dana White's Contender Series and the contracts and that they're making and the fighters that they're signing from that show, and then the Ultimate Fighter they announce is coming back, really, really don't know what the roster is going to look like. I mean, it's smart that they're cutting these fighters by the end of 2020, but it's a couple big names. I'm not sure who else has been cut yet on the roster, but it looks like that fan favorite Rachel Ostovich has been cut, but she did lose three straight. Yoel Romero, who's pretty much one of the gatekeepers and one of the contenders there at 185 pounds in the middleweight division, he's gone. He's a free agent. So we don't know if this is a roster cut or if they had a falling out, him and Dana, or Sean Shelby or the UFC management with Yoel Romero. We don't know if it's a money thing or him getting the lack of him getting a title shot. We really don't know what it is. I mean, he did challenge Stylebender for the middleweight belt back in March and he lost by decision. We don't know if that's enough to justify a release or a parting of ways. Romero is 43 years old and he's lost, what, four of his last five? So I guess that does justify a release, but the star power and him being a dangerous guy and him beating the top contenders at middleweight, I think, is enough to keep him on the roster. The name itself, Yoel Romero, is just one of those names that sticks out on the rankings, in the middleweight rankings, and, you know, kind of shakes you a little bit and scares you, because he has the ability to knock out guys like Luke Rockhold and Chris Weidman and guys at the top of the heap at middleweight. It's just he was never able to put it together when it came to the big title fights, especially against Robert Whittaker, and you can make the case that he won one of those fights because they were very, very close. But it sucks to see him leave the UFC. But I think, in my opinion, that time has run its course, and I would love to see him be successful elsewhere. If he were to sign with Bellator, or if he were to go overseas and fight somewhere else, if he were to fight in one championship or any other MMA promotions, I'd definitely love to see him have a belt somewhere and be successful in that realm. So good luck to Yoel Romero, to the soldier of God, Yoel Romero, and hopefully he can sign a new contract soon and, able to string up some wins before he calls it quits. And then we also have another UFC roster shakeup with Anthony Rumble Johnson. I know a couple episodes ago I did announce that Anthony Rumble Johnson was going to fight again, and he came back from retirement it looked like it was going to be in the UFC, and we thought he was going to have that fight with John Jones, and they were going to fight. And that's the fight that we've been clamoring for maybe the past 5 years since DC and John Jones were having that rivalry. But now we don't know if that's going to happen. Actually, no, but that's not going to happen at all, because Anthony Rumble Johnson just signed with Bellator MMA. And yeah, entered the testing pool, entered the USADA testing pool, just to sign with Bellator. Now with the UFC, I don't know if this is something financially. Once again, I don't know if this is a falling out with Dana. I don't know if it's John Jones moving up to heavyweight, because it looks like that Anthony Rumble Johnson is dead set and fighting light heavyweight now, so he's going to be fighting 205 with Bellator. I don't know. I think more news is going to come out in regards to this and Anthony Rumble Johnson fighting for Bellator. He could fight guys like Bader again, but if he had, you know, if I were to bet, I think he just knocks out Bader again. I think Anthony Rumble Johnson is another level above whoever the light heavyweight champion is currently in Bellator. So if he were to move up to heavyweight, that'd be interesting as well, because Bellator has a pretty decent heavyweight roster. It's just unfortunate that, you know, we're not going to be able to see John Jones versus Anthony Rumble Johnson, because this is something that we've been wanting to see for quite some time now. We don't know if that's a financial reason with a roster cut to the UFC, because, you know, Dana White did say he was going to shake things up and he was going to unfortunately go through a list of names, and, you know, there are some tough decisions that he had to make in regards to the roster. So that's that with Anthony Rumble Johnson. Last topic that I want to go ahead and go over, we're going to talk about Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson from last Saturday, which I was completely, completely entertained by. And it was what I expected. I expected, you know, them to be somewhat competitive, but to kind of lay off the power punches and maybe Roy not training as hard as we thought he was going to train for. Or it's just him being out of shape at his age. But Mike Tyson looked absolutely incredible. And it was everything that we wanted and more. As far as an exhibition fight, no headgear. I could have done without the two-minute rounds. I wish it was three. I think Mike could have gone three. Roy definitely couldn't have gone. No, there's no way he could have done 8 3-minute rounds. I think Mike was definitely in shape, and I definitely know he wanted to do more. And that's what it is. It was a spectacle. The hip-hop show was great with St. John and Wiz Khalifa, French Montana, and who else am I forgetting? Oh, YG. YG performed as well and everything. The whole setup of the Staples Center looked great. The presentation looked great. It was very sharp. And it looked like a professional setup. Just really, really, really happy with the presentation and how the fight turned out. And I have no complaints. I definitely, if this is what exhibition fights look like in the future with Mike Tyson, and if he were to fight guys maybe around his own age, if he were to fight Evander Holyfield again, if Lennox Lewis is still in shape, he could even do an exhibition fight against Lennox Lewis, or he could even go in and fight, what's his name? Shannon Briggs. Shannon Briggs in exhibition. That'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun. A lot of money to be made there, and a lot to prove. And Mike Tyson's fighting for a better purpose now, for a higher purpose, and that's for the well-being of others. He's not fighting for himself, and he's definitely motivated by that, which I'm definitely glad to see. But these exhibition fights, if it's under the Triller banner again, I know it's going to be under the Legends Only League that Mike Tyson has, that he currently has ownership stake in. It's going to be a lot of fun to see these exhibition fights, especially from a guy of Mike Tyson's caliber, who's one of the most entertaining fighters of all time with the knockouts that he has. But that remains to be seen. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to go ahead and call it quits here for this episode. Hopefully I'm back soon. We could go ahead and break down UFC 256. If you guys don't know where to find me, I am on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and wherever podcasts are distributed. This is Matthew Amayo signing out for the championship rounds. Thanks again for listening. Love you guys. Bye.